Shall we commence our meeting tonight with hymn number 151, When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair, the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. 151, we'll stand as we sing together. Prayer and seek the Lord's face for his blessing upon us tonight. Let us all pray. Our gracious God and eternal Father in heaven, we come into thy presence tonight in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for gathering us together in your name in this house tonight under the sound of your word. And Father, we do pray that you would bless us this evening as we meet together. Pray for a sense of thy presence in our midst, that thou will bless thy servants who have come to minister in song. Bless every aspect of the meeting tonight. We pray that thou wilt be glorified, that the devil and all the hosts of hell will be put to flight, that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be uplifted and praised and glorified, even in this house tonight. We pray, O God, that thou wilt move. We thank that thou art the answer to every sinner's need, that thou canst break the chains and fetters of sin. He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the fireless clean. His blood avails for me. And, O God, we thank thee for that blood that cleanses from every stain. We pray that thou wilt work tonight here in this place, O God, as the gospel goes out. We thank you for this sounding board for the gospel. And, Lord, we pray that there'll be no uncertain sound tonight. Lord, we pray that there'll be that certain sound of the gospel of Christ from this pulpit. We pray, Father, that you'll bless in every detail. We pray that thou wilt be seen, that thou wilt be exalted, that thou wilt be praised, that thou wilt be honored, and that souls will come and trust in Christ even here tonight. We pray, O God, that you'll remember right across our land. We pray, O God, that we might hear the news of souls coming to Christ as the gospel goes out. Heavenly Father, work, we pray, to the salvation of lost and dying souls. Remember, O God, the need, and Lord, that there is among the sick of our congregation. We pray for healing. We pray for restoration for those that are not able to be out at this time. We pray that thou wilt give them strength in their bodies and Lord, that they might know restoration, the wanted health and strength. Here as we pray tonight, remember across our land, Lord. Remember, O God, across the world, the preaching of the gospel. Remember our missionaries. We pray that thou wilt bless our sister Margaret Russell. She's had this surgery, that she'll recover. Remember our brother, Reverend Graham, that thou wilt touch him. That this illness that has come upon him, Lord, that thou wilt heal him. Bless his wife and family. Remember little Harriet, this little girl, Lord. Her hearts go out to her. That she has this appointment, Lord, with the neurosurgeon that thou wilt undertake. Remember, Lord, her parents. And we pray that you'll answer prayer for this little 8-year-old girl and touch her and heal her. And Lord, if it is your will, and Lord, at this time, do that work, we pray. Answer prayer, and Lord, be with us and bless us now for Jesus' sake. Amen. We're turning in our Bibles tonight to the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter and the 3rd chapter. And reading together from this portion of God's Word tonight. 2 Peter chapter 3. And we're reading from the verse number 1. 2 Peter chapter 3 and the verse number 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. For by the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. And we know the Lord will bless the reading of his precious, infallible, inspired, and inerrant word to all our hearts. We'll ask George and Jennifer to come and minister to us the first piece just now. Thank you.
Thank you. friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful, who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer.
The Lord bless that ministry and song to our hearts. Get to hear those old pieces sung, and I trust that the Lord will bless that ministry to our hearts tonight. 157 in the hymn book, 157, and we'll stand again as we sing together the words of this hymn. Day of judgment, day of wonders, hark the trumpet's awful sound, louder than a thousand thunders, shakes the vast creation round. How the summons will the sinner's heart confound. Great hymn of Newton's, and we'll stand and sing 157 in our hymn book on page 240.
Jesus.
welcome you tonight in the Lord's name. If you're visiting, we give you a special welcome to our service tonight. Trust the Lord will bless our coming together in His name. And I just ask the church committee just to wait behind for a few moments in the creche immediately after the service, please. That would be much appreciated, those members who are here tonight. Can I just mention then the Missionary Council retiring offering at both services a day for the work of our missionary cause. Just remembering, of course, too, our sister Margaret Russell is through her operation now and is recovering in Nairobi still. And then she will travel back to her base soon, hopefully this week. And, of course, she's retiring in the springtime anyway. But do remember her and pray that the Lord will heal her, restore. Remember Reverend Wesley Graham has gone through various tests and have a brain tumor. Do remember our brother, that the Lord will touch him. And remember all the tests and all that he has to go through. The Lord will intervene for this man of God at this time. That the touch of God, remember his wife and his family, that the Lord will be gracious to them too in this great time of need. And remember a little girl we've been asking to pray for, just a man I know very well, a man called Jim McGrory, his daughter, little daughter, just 8 years of age, Harriet, discovers something on her brain, and she has to go through various tests. She's to see a neurosurgeon within the next days. So do pray that the Lord will intervene for this little girl, and pray for the parents. It's their only child, that the Lord will answer prayer and save them at this time, help them and comfort their hearts. Do pray for us as we keep in touch with them. And this man was on the phone with me, crying down the phone and thanking the people here for their prayers, even in the week of prayer and other times. And he really appreciates it. He's an unsaved man, but very respectful for the gospel. But do pray that the Lord will do a work in his heart and comfort him, his wife, at this time. Remember that situation, please. And then we have Monday, the little sunbeams, and Iwana at the usual times. Tuesday, the children's meeting at the usual time, 7 to 7:45. The weekly Bible study and prayer meeting, Tuesday at 8. Appreciate all who came to the week of prayer, and those who couldn't come, if you met in your own home and prayed, that's appreciated. Or wherever you were, you lifted your heart to God for the work of God this year. So remember, Tuesday night, we're continuing the theme we started really at the week of prayer there on the prayer life of Elijah. We're going to continue that this Tuesday night. The following Tuesday, Reverend Malcolm Patterson will come and speak to us about the work in Kenya. That's Tuesday week, the missionary prayer meeting. Keep that in mind, please, as well. Then Thursday night is the beginning of the academy again, the resumption of it, I should say, the Christian Workers Academy in the church hall. That's at 8 o'clock. Just mentioning for the ladies, and appreciate those who have already put their names down to help out with the catering, just some light refreshments. And if you can help on other nights, right up to, I think it's second week in March, that would be appreciated if you can get that filled in for us. Thank you in the Lord's name. And then on Saturday night is the youth reach for year 7 upwards. And Mr. Andrew Murray, the assistant, will be along to speak this time. And it's chippy night as well, so all enjoy that. But do remember Saturday night at 7:30 to 9:30. And if you know of young people that age and that age bracket, encourage them to come along. We're thankful for those from the local community who've been coming in, and pray that God will work through this means to draw them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then next Lord's Day, the services at 11:30 and 7. I trust to be here in the morning time, the Sunday school at 10 o'clock, and the Bible class. In the evening time, it's our family and friends night service. Reverend David McMillan from Armagh will be speaking about his near-death experience. Remember some time ago, just probably within the last 2 years, our brother was given up almost in Dublin Airport, and yet the Lord spared his life. And so he's going to be speaking about that and giving his testimony and sharing with us from the Word of God next Sunday night. Our sister, Mrs. Vivian McCoy, will be along to minister in song at that service, and there'll be refreshments afterwards in the church hall. Group 2 are responsible for those. And do invite others to come and hear this word, and invite the unsaved to come in under the sound of the gospel next Sunday night for this special service. The Vision magazines are to hand. Do see our brother Robert Catterson concerning them. And then could I mention also the school work this week? We'll be in Carrickmannan and Alexander Dixon primary schools on Friday morning. Mr. Murray and myself do remember this work. And the work in Nepal, that's, of course, my brother was here representing that just a few weeks ago for Christmas. Brother Reverend Graham, and he'd sent along these little cards. And so if you take those, you can support the work there by your prayers and in a practical way. Then our church dinner with our brother David Warwick. He'll be along to minister and song, musical program afterwards. It's on Friday the 21st of February, 6:45 for a 7 p.m. start. And the menu's all there. I'm not going to go through it, make you hungry, and then you'll want to go home instead of wanting to stay for the message. But do please remember that and get it back. It's not only for church members, it's for people outside our church as well. If you have other friends you want to invite, it's £20, and the other prices for the smaller dinners for children and kids' menu, it's all there. And see our brother Mervyn Barr, brother Robert Catterson about that. So I think those are all the announcements. Just to mention, it is our communion service next Lord's Day morning after the preaching of the word for all those who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. We're going to join in the singing of the hymn number 752, 752 in our hymn book. You may wonder why we're singing this hymn, but I think it'll become apparent during the message why we're singing it. We could sing any hymn, of course, but 752, O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. 752 on page 478, we'll keep our seats as we sing. George and Jennifer will come and bring their final message, and then we'll bring the Lord's word.
been tossed and driven on the restless sea of time. Somber skies and howling tempests have succeeded a bright sunshine.
In that land of perfect day, when the mist had rolled away, we will understand it better by and by. Understand it better by and by. Trials darkle every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God would lead us to that blessed promised land. But He guides us with His eye, and we'll follow till we die, for we'll understand it better by and by. Hidden snares often take us unawares, and our hearts are made to bleed for some thoughtless word or deed. And we wonder why the test, when we try to do our best, but we'll understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when the saints of God are gathered home, story of how we've overcome, or we'll understand it better by and by.
I thank the Lord, servants, for that ministry and song to our hearts tonight. Let us bow together in prayer, please. Father, we come now to the preaching of Thy Word. I am trusting Thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that Thou Thyself hast given me must and shall prevail. We ask in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. I turn your attention tonight in the closing moments of our service to 2 Peter chapter 3. And especially verses 10 to 12 of this portion of Scripture. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hasting unto the day of the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The Bible speaks of the last days, that period of time prior to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is important that we consider what the Word of God says about the last days, so that we are instructed in a biblical way, not by the speculations or conjectures of men, but by what the Word of God says. It is vital that we are not ignorant in regard to the last days, that we have divine illumination given to us by the Holy Spirit of God as we read the Scriptures of truth. Here in this context from which we have read tonight, 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he exposed the ignorance of the scoffers. Consider verse 8 for a moment. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Not only were they ignorant of what God had done in the past, you look at verse 5, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. But they were also ignorant of what God was like. They were making God in their own image. They were ignoring the fact that God is eternal. And this means that He has neither beginning nor end. He is the eternal God. Man, of course, is a mark. He has a beginning, but not an ending. He will live forever either in heaven or in hell. But God is eternal, without beginning or without ending. And He dwells in eternity. Eternity is not just extended time. It is existence above and apart from time. And Peter here, in these words, he's speaking in relation to an Old Testament verse and referring to that and quoting from Psalm 90 verse 4, "For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past and as a watch in the night." And Isaac Watts used Psalm 90 for the basis of this hymn we've just been singing tonight. O God, our help in ages past. And part of that hymn says this, 1,000 ages in thy sight are like an evening gone, short as the watch that ends the night before the rising sun. Since 1,000 years are but as one day to the Lord, we cannot accuse Him of delaying the fulfillment of His promises. In God's sight, the whole universe is only a few days old. He is not limited by time the way we are, nor does He measure it according to man's standards. He is never before time or behind time. He's always on time. God is always on time. When you study the works of God, you discover He's never in a hurry and He is never late. You think of creation. He could have done it all in a moment of time, but He preferred to do it over a period of 6 days. He could have delivered Egypt or Israel out of Egypt in a moment, but He in His wisdom preferred to do it over a period of time. And for that matter, He could have sent the Savior much sooner into this world. But He waited, according to Scripture, Galatians 4 and verse 4, until the fullness of time was come. While God works in time, He is not limited by time. And to God, as Scripture says, 1,000 years is as one day. And one day is 1,000 years. God can do in one day what it takes others a millennium of time to accomplish. He waits to work, but once He begins to work and He gets things done. But the scoffers did not have a perception or an understanding of God as the eternal God. They did not understand the mercy of God either. Why was God delaying in the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? It was not because He was willing or unwilling to act. No, my friend. He was not tardy or off schedule. Nobody on earth has the right to decide when God must act. God is sovereign in all things. He does not need the prodding or the prompting of man. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans, chapter 11, verses 33 to 36, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments, His ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been His counselor, or who hath first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed unto Him again? For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever." Amen. God is all wise. And God delays the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He delays the day of His fiery judgment because He is long-suffering and wants to give lost sinners more opportunities to be saved. Look at verse 15. "And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation." You see, my friend, God has a plan for this world. And His delay is an indication that He is working out His plan. He is working out His purpose as far as this world is concerned. There should be no question in anybody's mind that God wants sinners to be saved. God wants you to be saved tonight. God wants men and women across this world to be saved. Whatever their creed, whatever their color, whatever their class, whatever their background, the Bible tells us here in verse 9, He's long-suffering to usward. He's not willing that any should perish. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, it says that God will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. And these verses of Scripture give both the negative and the positive, and together they assure us that God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. And the Bible tells us that in the book of Ezekiel, that God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that they turn to Him. He shows mercy to all men, even though not all men will be saved. Yet He extends His mercy. And He extends His mercy to you in the service again tonight, as you sit under the sound of God's Word. He revealed the same long-suffering in the years before the flood. 1 Peter chapter 3 and the verse 20. The Bible tells us, "Which sometime were disobedient, when once," listen, the long-suffering, there you have it again, "the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water." God was long-suffering all that time when the ark was being prepared. Read about it there in those chapters in the book of Genesis. God's long-suffering to the antediluvian world, to those whose only imagination of their hearts was evil continually, yet God was merciful. And so God is merciful to this world in which we live tonight. It's long-suffering. Also in the case of Sodom and Gomorrah, despite their wickedness and their vileness and their depravity, yet God patiently waited while Abraham interceded for the cities. Genesis chapter 18. He would have spared those cities had He found 10 righteous people in Sodom. God was long-suffering. He's long-suffering to this world tonight. Yes, we see how Peter refuted the false claims of the scoffers. But he not only refuted the false claims of the scoffers, but he reaffirmed the certainty of Christ's coming. This is what we want to come to tonight as we look at the end of the age. From the biblical point of view, we look at these words that are before us tonight here in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 to 12. There's some things that I want to point out to you from these verses tonight. First of all, the time of His coming. It says the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. No one knows the exact time. Oh, there are people who speculate about this and have speculated down through time and continue to speculate and continue to put across their views in relation to timing. But no one knows the exact time. The Word of God says in Acts chapter 1 and verse 7, "And He, Jesus, the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power." Of course, the Lord knows exactly when it will be. But no man knows exactly when it will be. The words here in this text of Scripture are the words as a thief in the night. And here it indicates the unexpected time when our Lord will come. Our Lord used the words in that great discourse there in the 24th chapter of Matthew. Verse 43, "But know this, that if the goodman of the house or the master of the house had known in what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and would have not suffered his house to be broken up." You've practically exactly the same words in Luke chapter 12, verse 39. The thief in the night, unexpectedly. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we read this. Again, similar words, Paul the Apostle this time, writing to the believers at Thessalonica, he said, "For yourselves," 1 Thessalonians 5, 2, "for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." He will come unexpectedly as a thief in the night. And he goes on to say there in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 3, "For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." When the world is feeling secure, then God's judgment will fall. The thief does not warn his victims that he is coming. He comes unexpected. "When they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them." Unexpectedly, the Lord Jesus Christ will come. Suddenly, the Lord Jesus Christ will come. And there are many in this world, tonight, maybe even here now, listening to this service, and you think that you are safe and secure, but sudden destruction will come. The Lord will return to judge the world. Many have been lulled into a false sense of security by the comforts they have in this world, by the prosperity they enjoy, maybe even the position that they have, the pleasures they indulge in. And they find some measure of satisfaction and enjoyment in these things. You think of those virgins in Matthew chapter 25. The midnight cry went out. They all slumbered and slept. "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." And suddenly the cry was made. Suddenly the call came at midnight. And maybe tonight we are drawing nigh to the midnight hour. And that cry will be made suddenly. Even tonight. How will it be with you then, my friend? The Bible says, "Be also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." The Bible says, "Prepare to meet thy God. The time is coming." I want you to see, secondly, tonight, the turbulence at his coming. Look at verse 10 again. It says here, 2 Peter chapter 3, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. This is one of the most remarkable prophecies in all of Scripture. Once there was a television program that held public interest for some time. It was called That's Incredible. It brought to the television screens a series of remarkable feats and skills and coincidences and beliefs. But here is something that might seem even more incredible than anything seen nor shown on a television screen. An uneducated Galilean fisherman, living over 2,000 years ago, writing in the Word of God an accurate description of the end time. He was, of course, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Incredible indeed. Absolutely amazing. The thought is here that the heavens with a rushing noise will be dissolved, and the elements being scorched will be dissolved. What an amazing thing. What an amazing thing. You've heard all this talk about climate change. And you see all of these protesters on your television screens taking over towns and cities, causing mammoth disruption. They think they're telling us something new. But my friend, the Bible is ahead of all this. The Bible tells us what's going to happen. The heavens are going to be passing away with a great noise. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. Maybe you've been in an airplane and you know, of course, the worst thing you could experience on an airplane is turbulence. If you've been in that situation, maybe a long flight, and you've gone there to or going to a certain destination in the midst of that flight, and it comes over the intercom that there's going to be turbulence, and you see people, they're grasping themselves together, they're holding their hands tightly. It's not a pleasant experience, turbulence. But friend, it's nothing to what this experience will be. The word translated great noise means with a hissing or a crackling sound. It was said when the atomic bomb was tested in the Nevada desert, more than one reporter said, the explosion gave forth a whirring sound or a crackling sound. The Greek word that Peter used was commonly used by the people for the whirring of birds' wings or the hissing of a snake. They shall undergo a mighty altercation. It shall be very sudden with a great noise as the breaking and tumbling down of so great a fabric must necessarily occasion. You think of the atomic bomb on July the 16th, 1945. The place for the experiment was a wilderness in New Mexico. It was said that an enormous tower was built of 10-inch thick rails, weighing 90 pounds to the foot. When the bomb exploded, the tower vaporized. Its debris was tossed 7 miles into the sky. Where the tower had stood was a hole 60 foot deep and 5,000 foot wide. For 18,000 foot in all directions, the ground was boiled and fused or melted into glass. When the first atom bomb was dropped in Hiroshima at 8:15 a.m. on August the 6th, 1945, a city of 350,000 people was virtually leveled. Some 70,000 people were killed instantly. Many more were severely injured. About two-thirds of the buildings were totally destroyed or damaged beyond repair. Many people died later of radiation sickness. But what great noise there will be, my friend. Far beyond any of this. And this happens when Jesus Christ comes again. Friend, the atom bomb will be nothing compared to this noise. It will be massive turbulence. You will have never seen it or experienced it before. In any journey on an aircraft, or anything that you could experience in this life, or people have experienced down through the decades and centuries of time, and people have experienced some terrible and horrible things, and will even experience more terrible and horrible things in the future. The noise. But then it says further, the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The elements. The primary matter of this world, of this earth. And today, as we've said, we have all these people clamoring on the bandwagon for climate change. And all of these statistics are being thrown out at us in regard to global warming. And we cannot argue that the earth is warming up. Of course it is. The earth was made perfect at the beginning. Before the fall, there was no mention of national disasters or natural disasters. But after the fall, all that changed. All that changed. There has been climatic change down through the centuries of time. Down through the period of biblical history, there has been climatic change. Again and again we see it. Again and again we see it in Scripture. But the greatest and gravest of all climatic change will take place at the climax of this age. When the earth that is presently heated up will heat up as never before. The Bible says here the elements shall melt with fervent heat. And the heating up of the earth will result eventually in the burning up of this earth. You see, they talk about the floods, and there are terrible floods that are happening across this world. But the earth will never again be destroyed by a flood. The Bible tells us that. And the rainbow in the sky is God's covenant that this world will never again be destroyed by a flood. But this earth will be burned up. And there's nothing that these protesters will be able to do about that. There is no mechanisms that can be brought in to stop it. I know, of course we know that man has done terrible things and polluted the atmosphere. Of course we know that. And of course it is happening and it will continue to happen. It doesn't change what the Word of God says. The word melt here means to disintegrate, to be dissolved. It carries the idea of something being broken down into its basic elements. You remember Matthew chapter 24, verse 35 says, heaven and earth shall pass away. Again, verse 7, but the heavens and the earth, which are now kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. And the thought is, they are stored with fire, and only God can release it, and He will. What a terrible end that will be for this world. For this world that has rejected Christ. For this world that has spurned God's so great salvation. But you are still here tonight. you have still an opportunity to be saved. You have still an opportunity to come to Christ. You have still an opportunity to cease from your sin. You have still an opportunity tonight to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Will you be saved tonight? Oh, be saved, His grace is free. Oh, be saved, He died for thee. The turbulence is coming. I want you to think about the terror that is coming. It says here in verse 10 of 2 Peter 3, "The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up, and all man's great works shall be burned up." All the things that man boasts about, his great cities, his great buildings, his inventions, his achievements, will be destroyed in a moment of time. You think of those bushfires in Australia, and it was awful. What happened? And you think of all that people have put into their homes, and in a short time, these bushfires just rage through and burn all their possessions up and their homes and all that they have as far as earthly goods are concerned. It's a terrible thing. But you know, people hold on to many things in this world and they think that there is profit in these things. All of the world's possessions, all of the world's position, all of the world's pomp and all of the world's popularity will be worthless to us. They will be burned up. They will not withstand the fire that shall come and burn them up at the end of the age. Wood, hay, and stubble burned up. Nothing will be preserved, my friend. And all that men have trusted in as far as this world is concerned will just go up in smoke. Oh, how important it is, my friend. In the day of God's terror, that you have a refuge in the Lord Jesus Christ. As you face such terror, that you have your faith anchored in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have, then you have nothing to fear. You will have peace that passeth all understanding through the Lord Jesus Christ. If you trust Him as your own and personal Savior. Remember tonight, He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Will you decide for Christ tonight? Before it is too late. Look at verses 11 and 12. "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation or all behavior and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat." You see the emphasis here. Look away from this world, my friend. Look to Christ. Looking unto Jesus. "Behold, the Lamb of God taketh away the sin of the world." Look towards that mansion in heaven. Christian, don't be tying yourself up to this world, the things that you have around you, the things that you hold on to in this life. Don't be tying yourselves to these things. Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. I want you to think about the triumph of His coming. It's the final thing tonight. Verse 12, "Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God." It's a triumphant return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Matthew chapter 1, or Acts chapter 1 rather, tells us about that He who ascended from the Mount of Olives will come again. In like manner, as ye have seen Him go into heaven. His feet shall stand upon the Mount of Olives. And what a day that will be. When my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace, He will take me by His hand, lead me to the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. The triumph that is coming. It's a time of triumph for those that are saved. What a time of triumph it was for those that went in there with the bridegroom in Matthew 25. They went in. They were ready, the wise virgins. Their lamps were lit and burning bright. They were ready for the call of the bridegroom. The Bible speaks in First Thessalonians 4, of those that will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Being ever in His presence. The enjoyment of His presence forever. It's eternal gain for the child of God. Enjoying heaven for all eternity. That godly and saintly minister, Robert Murray McShane, who went to be with Christ before he reached the age of 30. On one occasion he asked some of his friends in his home, "Do you think that Christ will come tonight?" Pausing before each, he waited for their reply. And one after one they answered, "No, I think not." Then he solemnly quoted the words of our Lord, "In such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." The godly Horatius Bonner, as he drew the curtains and retired for the night, he used to repeat to himself the words in prayer, "Perhaps tonight, Lord. Perhaps tonight, Lord." In the morning, as he awoke and looked out to the dawn of a new day, he would say, looking up into the sky, "Perhaps today, Lord. Perhaps today." Looking for and hastening on to the coming of the day of God. Christian, are you looking for it? Are you looking for Christ's return? He's coming again. But what about you tonight? Will it be a time of triumph for you? If it won't be a day of triumph, it will be a day of tragedy. To be closed out like those foolish virgins, the door was shut. They said, "Open to us." The Lord said, "I never knew you." Is that what the Lord is going to say to you, my friend, on that day? "I never knew you. Depart from me." Oh, the tragedy of that. May it not be so, my friend, for you. May it not be so for you. May you come to Christ and be saved tonight. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we pray that Thou wilt write Thy word, Thy precious word, upon the hearts of those that have heard. We pray that tonight will be a night of salvation for some soul or souls. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're turning in our hymn books to our closing hymn tonight. It's number 160 in our hymn book. 160, we will stand after the introduction and sing this hymn together. "Some glorious morning, sorrow will cease. Some glorious morning, all will be peace. Heartaches all ended, school day is all done. Heaven will open, Jesus will come." Page 242, we'll stand as we sing the words of this hymn together. concerned about your need of Christ, do speak with us as you leave. We'll be here to help you tonight, to open God's Word, to point you to the one who can save your soul tonight. Don't go away without the Lord Jesus Christ. Father in heaven, we pray that thou wilt indelibly write upon the fleshy tables of every heart the truth of the gospel and bring souls to know thee tonight before it be forever too late. Spread now thy covering wings around till all our wanderings cease, till at our Father's blessed abode all her saved arrive in peace for Christ's sake. Amen.